Let's go to the word of the Lord, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm not going to preach long today. And I don't preach that long most of the time anyway, but I just feel like when the Lord's moving, you just kind of want to get in that spirit and just flow with it and let it happen. Amen? Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me. Oh, come on, forgetting those things which are behind. I want to preach today a time for forgetting. A time for forgetting. Some of you think, well, I've had enough senior moments. I don't want to forget anything else. No, there's some things you need to forget. There's some things you need to leave behind. There's some things. There's a time for forgetting. I'm going to preach to us about that. Would you say, Lord, speak to us. Lord, work in our hearts. Have your way today, Lord. I pray that your will be done. I pray that your hand would work and you would minister to every need and every situation. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated today. God bless you. Regrets. What do we do with regrets? We all have them. Things that we should have done, but we didn't. Things we should not have done, but we did. Words that would have been better left unspoken. Or those moments when we should have said something, but we missed the opportunity. It's this time of year that we often consider regrets. Things that we wish had been different about this past year. So what do we do with regrets? The fact is, the year 2025, it's like water spilled out on the ground. There's no way to go back and pick it up again. For good or for bad, it's over now, and the past is past. Last year's successes don't guarantee success this year. And last year's defeats are now behind us, and it's time to press on. It's time to go forward. Hallelujah. What a wonderful word used by the Apostle Paul, forgetting. Forgetting. Sometimes we don't think of that as a wonderful word because we forget where we put our keys, or we forget to pay a certain bill, or we forget an anniversary, God forbid. But no, forgetting is really a wonderful thing. Every Bible translation uses the same exact word in our text today, forgetting. Sometimes there's no other word that will work. There's nothing else quite like forgetting some things that we need to put behind us. Come on, sometimes you got to make a decision. You have to make a choice. You have to resolve and make up your mind. I'm going to put the past with all of its mistakes, with all of its embarrassments, and all my breakdowns and all of my blunders. I'm going to choose to put it in the past, and I've got to go forward because I'm not going to get stuck in all of that. All of our remembering won't change a thing about the past. But Paul says sometimes you just got to forget and you got to go forward. And we might think, well, sure, Paul, that's easy for you to say because you don't know what I've done this past year. And Paul, you wrote the majority of the New Testament, so you kind of had it figured out, and you had visions of Jesus and of heaven, and you were mightily used in the Spirit. And Paul, you don't understand all that I have to forget. Don't think that Paul didn't have to do some forgetting. Don't think that he didn't have to leave some stuff in the past. What about the terrible execution of an innocent man named Stephen? Paul might not have thrown the stones, but he was standing there, the Bible says, consenting to his death. No doubt he was the ringleader behind it all, and he was thinking he was doing God's work by persecuting the church. But before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his life was all about how bad he can make it for the church. Yes, all of that was before Christ, B.C. And God would forget. But what about people? People didn't forget. And Paul had to face those who knew the terrible truth about his past. Paul's conscience didn't forget either. It remembered, considering all the shame that he had done. And Satan didn't forget. The accuser of the brethren. Paul had these three constantly reminding him of his past. People, his own conscience, and Satan, they were a constant reminder, but still Paul could press on, choosing to put the past behind him. Surely somebody here today has something from 2025 that the enemy of our soul, the accuser of the brethren, has been bringing up over and over and over again. Reminding you of your failure, of your flop, of your fiasco, the mess that you made, the loss that we experienced, some kind of downfall that we suffered. Surely somebody here today knows what I'm talking about. But you can hear the words of Paul and say, you know what? That's not going to define my future. That's not going to control the outcome of 2026. I'm ready to go forward. I'm ready to leave the past behind. I'm ready to have victory ahead. God does not intend for you to stay defeated. He doesn't want that moment that happened this past year to leave you in checkmate. That frustration, that collapse. The enemy wants it to be final, but God wants to turn it for good. In fact, usually the thing we're most ashamed of could actually be the thing that God gives us strength through to go forward and be entirely different than the way we've ever been in the past. Hallelujah. It's not the end, but this is a new year. Come on, somebody, it's a new beginning, and there's some things we're going to forget. And we're going to reach forward to some things that we haven't experienced yet. God's about to take this church to a whole brand new level. And God's about to use some of you in a way that you've never been used before. I believe there's a calling of God here in this new year that says, I'm ready to do great works. I'm ready to use you in a powerful way. You need to open your eyes. You need to open your heart, because God's saying, I have a work to do, and I'm looking for somebody who's not going to get stuck in the past, but's going to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And whatever you want to do and however you want to move, Lord, I'm available. Not only was Paul guilty of death and persecution of the church, but I'm sure the enemy constantly reminded him of all his shortcomings. Paul spent more time in prison than he did in hotels. At every place he went, he would go to preach, he'd go to start a church, but he was hounded and hurt. He wrote about how he bore in his body the marks of his work for God. Paul was never given the keys to a city. There was never a committee that was appointed to say, hey, we need to have a special day for Paul and honor him. There were no parks named in his honor. He was beaten. He was stoned by those who wanted to murder him. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was hungry. He was lonely. There were no booksellers lining up to get his exclusive story. He would not have been invited to go on any talk shows. Paul had every reason to quit, to throw in the towel, to go find something entirely different to do, but he didn't. He said, I've got to forget the past. I've got to forget my shortcomings, and I've got to press on because there's a prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. There's something ahead, and I can't let the past hold me back, but I got to keep pressing forward. I got to keep pushing. I got to keep pressing on. Hallelujah. I tell you this, as bad as we may have it, we didn't have it like as bad as Paul. As much as we have maybe suffered, Paul suffered worse. As ashamed as we might be of some things we've done, Paul was more ashamed. He wrote to Timothy, he said, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. That was not false humility. He genuinely felt that his sin made him more accountable to God than anyone else. And if you research that, why did Paul feel that way? He told King Agrippa, he said, he talked about how he had punished people and had compelled them to blaspheme. He had compelled people to blaspheme, to destroy their body and to kill them. That's bad enough. But to compel them to blaspheme, to cause them to speak evil of the name of the one who had saved them. He forced them under torture to recant and to renounce the one whom their heart loved. Surely that is the worst form of persecution. And if Paul had done that, can you imagine how that weighed upon him? But if Paul had to put that kind of a past behind him, if having a history like that, but still Paul could be so mightily used by God, I want to tell you, you've got a chance and I've got a chance too. And I've come to tell somebody today, the enemy has been on your back, telling you all the reasons why you can't be used by God, telling you why you can't be mighty in the Spirit, telling you why you can't have a glorious future. But God says, I want you to forget some stuff. I'm going to cover it with my blood, and you need to go forward in victory because there's something great ahead. Come on, are you ready to go forward? Are you ready to see new victories this year? Are you ready to leave some things behind? Are you ready to let go of your failures? A fresh start. A fresh start. That's what we've been given. Now, Paul knew that he had not arrived. We read it here today. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. He hadn't achieved it yet. Paul knew he was still on the journey. We're still on the journey today, okay? And Paul realized that he was still subject to failure. He had to be careful. He hadn't think, well, I've arrived, I've made it, and now I can just coast. No, he was still a prime target for the enemy. The war was not finished yet, but he wouldn't let those disappointments of the past deter him. He would not let the negative cause him to let go of his calling. But can you hear what Paul has to say to us here at the start of 2026? He's saying, press on. Press on. We've got to reach the end of this race. We've got to win the prize. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything cause you to miss heaven. No failure. No shame of the past, no terrible act, no embarrassment. We've got to leave it all behind as we reach ahead. Somebody hear the voice of Paul today, because he knew what he was talking about. It's a time for forgetting. What do we need to forget? We've got to forget our mistakes. Can we undo the past? No. It's impossible. What's done is done. But we can learn from it. We can make the choice to be different, to not make those same mistakes. Paul gave us what to do. He said, you got to forget some things and you just got to press on. Hey, forget some stuff today. Forget some stuff today and just keep pressing on. Get up and say, this is a brand new day. This is a brand new year. Maybe I didn't pray like I should have prayed last year, but God's given me a fresh start. Maybe I got caught up in some stuff that really sidetracked me this last year. No more distractions. No more distractions. I'm going to focus on what God wants me to do. Come on. Somebody might have got in some relationships last year that it just held you back, and there was people that around you that they weren't going the same direction you needed to go, and you look back and you're kind of ashamed of that. But I tell you today, you need to just cut those ties and you need to press on. It's a new year. It's a new day. You need to forget some things and let God bless you in this year. People get caught in a rut, you know, and they relive their failure over and over and over again. But as many times as we relive our failure, it's not going to change it. We've got to forget it and move on. While we're working on forgetting our mistakes, what about forgetting some things that others have done to us? Oh, Pastor, you don't know how deeply they hurt me. I don't doubt it for a minute. You know why? Because every one of us have been hurt. Every one of us have been hurt. Oh, Pastor, but you haven't been hurt like me. We could just sit around all day long and compare our hurts and our failures and how bitter we are. But here's the thing. We can't be alive and in contact with other people without sometimes being hurt. People are people. People are people. There's a book, and I mentioned it several times, but in preaching it says, people are pitiful, and we're all people. And so we've hurt others too. And every person has been hurt. And sometimes those hurts were intentional. Sometimes they may have been accidental. But we don't win if we go to our grave holding deep grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness. If we hold on to those wounds of our spirit, it destroys us. Proverbs 18 and 14, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Our human spirit can endure a whole lot. It can endure a sick body. Somehow we just make it through some things. But who can bear a wounded spirit? When there's a wound in our spirit and there's bitterness in our heart and we're so angry and we're grieving, oh, and we won't let that, it's a wound that festers. It won't heal, and it's there and it's constantly working on us. That's what the enemy wants, for us to carry on resentment and bitterness from the past into 2026, because that's how he'll destroy us. That's how the enemy can win. So let me talk to somebody here today. I understand what was done to us wasn't right. But we're making the decision today. I'm not going to let it destroy me. I'm not going to let it destroy me. Forgiveness is a choice. Well, I don't feel like forgiving. No, we usually don't. Well, they haven't asked me forgiveness. No, a lot of times they don't. But forgiveness is a choice. We say, you know what? Maybe they're not worthy of being forgiven. Maybe they haven't asked to be forgiven. But I'm not going to let that poison destroy me. God, you're going to have to deal with them. You're going to have to, whatever, Lord, I give it to you. But I'm not going to carry that poison with me to my grave. I'm going to forget some stuff. I'm going to let the Lord deal with it. I'm going to turn it over to God and say, Lord, I want to be healed myself. And so I'm spitting out the poison. I'm laying down the sword and saying, God, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to forget some stuff. As we're forgetting our mistakes and what others have done to us. There's also some things that we can't change. There's some stuff that we can change about ourselves. If we're lazy, we can learn to work. But if you've got black hair, you can't genuinely change it to blonde. It is what it is. Oh, I can go get a bottle. Yeah, but it's still underneath it all. It's still the same color. And once it starts turning gray, when it started coming on, I was like, well, I'll pull that one out right there and pull that one else, and then there was three more. And underneath it all, there's nothing you can do about it. Now, maybe you can take certain vitamins, and I don't know. If you figured all that out, let me know. But if you are 5'7", and you want to be 6'4", 6'5", yeah, you can get some of those shoes, you know. Who's it, like Tom Cruise or something? They were looking at his shoes, and they had a heel like that or something like that. It is what it is. There's some stuff we can change. There's some stuff we can't. But the enemy finds those little insecurities and he starts working on them. And we start to think that, well, because this is in my life, well, God can't use me and I can't be what I want to be, or I can't do what I feel like God wants me to do. And the enemy, he starts harping on that and he starts hammering on it, because his whole purpose is he does not want us to live in victory. He does not want us to have the power of God flowing through our life. He wants our mind to be so consumed with our insecurities. I don't want to go into 2026 carrying the same baggage that I carried this last year. But somebody needs to start looking at yourself and see yourself as God sees you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God formed you in your mother's womb. He gave you the color of hair he gave you. He gave you the body type you've got. Come on. He gave you the intellect you've got, the way of looking at stuff. He did it for a purpose. He did it for a plan. You needed to say, God, you've made me to be who I am, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to follow you. Praise the Lord. Sister McKella, you stepped out just a little bit ago. I really felt this here today. I was preaching to him about there's a calling of God. God's taking us to another level. This transition is not about a setback. It is a setup for you. Hallelujah. I don't know if you realize when this lady, when she gets up to sing and she opens her mouth, she's got talent and ability, but there's an anointing that flows. There's an anointing that flows. And I believe you are coming into focus to your calling and to your purpose. And God's saying, I'm about to take this church to a whole nother level, and we're getting things set up and we're getting things right. And not only her, but some of you need to start opening your eyes. You're not here just to sit on a pew. You're not here just to take up space. You're here to do the work of God. And God's saying, I've got a great revival. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He chose you. He crowned you. He made you a royal priesthood. He made you a holy nation. He made you a peculiar people. That means you're not the same as everybody else, but there's something different about you. There's a calling that's on your life. There's an anointing upon you. God has covered you with his blood. But we got to forget some stuff if we're going to reach forward and take hold of this year. Would you stand with me in closing today? Hallelujah. The only thing that makes forgetting possible is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a movement going on in some of, you know, popular church culture movement today. Don't talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's scary. You know, it's we don't want to talk. That's weird. You know, the blood. And Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. And that's the key to being able to leave stuff in the past. Because you and I don't have the power to make it go away. But when we come to the Lord and we say, God, honestly, when we come to the Lord and say, God, I've done a lot of bad stuff. And I'm sorry for those things I've done. And I want you to forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me. The Bible says if we would confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Now, you don't come tell me all your sins, okay? That's not the plan here. But you talk to God and you say, Lord, when I said that word, that wasn't a good word. I'm sorry. When I had that relationship, that wasn't a right relationship. I'm sorry. When I, whatever it is, you let God talk to you about it and deal with your heart. And then you just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the stuff I've done that was wrong. And then once you've been forgiven, God forgives you. There's another step. It's baptism. If there's anybody here today, you've not ever been baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about it. It's a burial. Because when you're baptized, you go under the water. And you come back up, the Bible says you're a new creature. The old man, the old person, is buried under the water. And it washes away our sins. And it makes us new. And when we come up out of the water, we're a new creature. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're here today and you've not, maybe you've repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you, but if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to make sure you do that today. See me. See one of our ministers. We'll make it happen. The water's warm. It's ready to go. You can be baptized today. Oh, I tell you, I'm thankful. When there's a clean house, it feels so good. How many of you like to clean? Oh, there's a few that like to clean. Okay. It's work, though. But it's so rewarding when you look and everything's clean. But here's the deal. You go a week or two, it gets dirty again. When the Lord cleans us out, when He washes us of all of our sins, and there's a clean house, so to speak, you don't want to just leave it empty, but you needed something to fill that place now. And that's the Spirit of God. And the Bible talks about how He will pour out His Spirit. With stammering lips and another tongue, He will speak to His people. Amen. Peter, he preached to him on the day of Pentecost. He said, you need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to fill your heart so that you can live right, so that you can be everything God has called you to be. Amen. I want somebody to make up your mind. I'm leaving some things behind. I can't do it by myself, but I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. I'm going to be baptized to wash all of that away. And I'm going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, because I want to be everything God's called me to be this year. Is anybody, you'd come with me around this altar and say, this is a new year. I'm leaving some stuff behind. I'm taking a new direction right now. Maybe I didn't pray last year like I needed to pray. Maybe I didn't read my Bible like I needed to read it. But I'm making a new start. I'm doing some things different this year, in Jesus' name.